Welcome to False Bottom Girls, a podcast about the wonderful yet sometimes confusing world of beer and brewing.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hudson, owner of Pilot Brewing and an advanced cicerone.
Hi, I'm Jen Blair, sensory expert, homebrewer, and advanced cicerone. Welcome, everyone, to this episode of False Bottom Girls. I almost said I'm Rachel. I'm Jen.
Hi, Rachel.
Yeah, that's Rachel. And this is Latrice Harris, the Beery Godmother. Welcome, Latrice.
Thank you all so much for having me. I am elated to sit down with you all today. we'll talk about the giants. I think you both are later, but
oh,
yeah,
no.
Yes. Get ready. I'm fantastically excited to sit down with you all today.
Good. We're really happy that you're here. Yeah. So Latrice, tell us about, you know, obviously Rachel and I are familiar with you as the Beery Godmother, and I know a lot of our listeners are as well, but just tell us a little bit about the Beery Godmother and like what you're doing in the beer space.
Yeah, definitely. So the Beery Godmother is my company. It's actually the Beery Godmother Consulting. And what I do specifically is geared around a lot of front of house training for any type of beer serving space. I think when I initially thought about starting Beery Godmother, it was very much geared towards breweries, because I think that's just what I was, you know, focused the most on and where I was spending the majority of my time. But over time, I really started to see that really any type of space that serves beer could utilize my services, as far as making sure that the people who are serving that beer are well equipped with all of the information that they need to know, whether it be actually how to serve the beer itself, as well as beer styles and you know, just some elements around, a little bit of element around brewing, but not much, and just making sure that interaction between customer and front of house staff went as smoothly as possible. So that was my kind of inspiration for starting it. And, beer education is something that I was very into before I actually knew it was structured as beer education. I kind of was like, you know, all I know is that I am extremely interested in all of the nerdy aspects of beer behind the scenes. I wanted to pull back all the layers as much as possible in a lot of conversations I was having. We're in that space. And so then I was like, oh, there's a name for this. It's called beer education. Okay, got it. Perfect.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's very similar to kind of how I got started, where I was interested in like structuring my learning about beer. And for me, back when people had blogs, that was the way that I could do it, is like just have some place that would, where I could share what I was learning, but also share it in a way so other people could learn from it too. Because as we all know, like the industry can, you know, feel kind of isolating or gatekeepy at times. And I just wanted I want a space where if somebody wants to know the difference between EBC and SRM, they can just come to my website and it's right there. Yes. And, you know, I learned it that way. I learned it by explaining it to people,
right,
and it definitely helped.
And
I know
a lot of options there, you know,
right. There really
it's
aren't.
Important.
There are.
It's hard to find. Like, I remember sitting down studying for second level in like Cicerone, second level in like 2012.
Yeah, there was like tasting beer and brewmaster's table, and that was it.
I couldn't even find, it was even hard to find like info from other people about what the test was like, you know, to get people who had taken it. And like Jen said, and then you have as resources kind of came available, it was the same resources over and over. And then sometimes as you learn more, you look through some of these and you're like, that is wrong.
Like,
person right here is saying that is wrong. So now I'm really freaking out because I have to go through this other level of bullshit of, did I learn correctly?
Exactly. Right. And it's so funny that you say that, because I think that like, as I have been moving through kind of from this part of like, okay, getting into what I'm doing, as I learn more, as I, you know, go further through like the Cicerone journey and all of that, and you start actually talking to people, it is the difference to me between like what you learn in quote, like a degree or school or whatever, and what is actually happening, right?
Yep.
There's always that like practical part that I also think needs to be embedded in the education side of it, right? It shouldn't just be, this
Yeah,
is exactly how you should do something to the T, right? It should be, well, there could be variations to this, you know,
yeah.
within reason, right? I mean, people are going to tweak and different things like that, but and you should know what the foundational part of something is, a method is, or you know, something like that. But there's so much that I mean, I'm like, wait a second.
Oh, I could give you so many examples.
Yes, exactly. I've read
like,
this and
yeah, or
you
just
know.
the whole connecting it with the at the physical side too, because that's hard, you know. Not, I mean, obviously you can read things easier than you can go do a brew
Of
somewhere,
course. Yep.
unless you have all that accessible. But I
Right.
have had, you know, just because something makes sense in the books doesn't mean it necessarily applies, because
Right.
learning equipment is different. And you might not even be understanding that maybe what you're reading has to do with a certain brew house versus what you're using. You
Exactly.
know, it's like the difference of cooking on a one burner stove versus a fully decked out kitchen.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep. That's exactly what I'm
That's a really good analogy. And I know, like, I've fallen into this trap as well, or I shouldn't call it a trap, but like a lot of the brewing literature has been, you know, written by people who are like AB and, you know, MillerCoors, because that's for a long time, that's where all the research was. And there's still a lot of books out there that, you know, were maybe published like 20 years ago. And when they were published, it's like, yeah, like this was the case, but it doesn't really account for craft brewing. And like you all are saying, it doesn't account for like variations. And I know I've given presentations before where I'm going, you know, out of a book. And I've had brewers say like, hey, where did you get that information? And I can say like, specifically, I had said that about mercaptan, like, you know, your yeast will start to die if it's in your like your CCV for too long. But like, it's not, it's like way long. And a brewer was like, no, in my case, it happens like within, you know, like a much shorter amount of time. And, you know, and he was asking like, it, you know, just like, hey, where's that information from? Because that hasn't been my experience. And, you know, when I told him, he was like, oh yeah, that may have been like an old translation, or, you know, like something from German brewing where that's
And
not an
then,
issue kind of thing. And he's like, you know, in my brewery, that's not the case. And it was like, ah, you know,
and they
damn,
might
same
have
thing.
really tall, big fermenters where the hydrostatic pressure really is going to make it different versus like a 5 gallon homebrew batch where you really can leave it on. So again, you know, and like that's just one little example of why different types of education are so important, and not
Absolutely.
just going to the same old white guys there that did it.
Right. The sainted white man of brewing.
Yes, exactly. That is not it. I mean, and I think, you know, like I said, I think for me, like as a Black woman, I wanted to come at the, you know, I was coming into it with a different sense of responsibility. It just is what it is, right? And people say, oh, you don't have to, you can just come in and just do your thing. And I'm like, no, like that's not, I don't even think women have the luxury of thinking that way, right? Oh, you can just come in and do your thing. You're always thinking about it from like a different vantage point of, okay, I need to bring myself to this in a different way. And, you know, I really wanted to be able to show that, like, to your point, there's different types of education. You need to be bringing it to people in a different way, not by any stretch, like diminishing it, because I think sometimes there's that misconception of, oh, well, you know, if you're breaking it down to a digestible form, you're diminishing it in some way. And it's like, no,
No,
that's not,
you're making it
no.
so people can learn, because people learn differently.
Exactly. Right. People learn differently,
Oh,
right? And
yeah.
so you have to strike that balance between, you know, okay, let me make sure that I do this justice. Like, let me make sure that I am conveying the right information and acknowledging like that there is variation, right? I think that's one of the biggest things that, you know, I've learned kind of in my journey of just conveying information is that you have to sometimes put caveats. Like, this is, you know, this is a general way of thinking about this. This is not the only way, or this is not, you know, you want to give people a feel, but at the same time, like you shouldn't feel like, oh, well, I can't talk about X because it's too complicated, or, you know, like, oh,
Yeah.
I have to dumb this way down. And so therefore there's no value in talking about it.
Yeah, I have a very similar experience with some new team members on a pilot, just talking to them about beer styles, because when someone's learning, for the first time, essentially, or starting to really learn. And like you kind of start, you want to be like, okay, start as thinking about everything as ales and lagers. And then you're like, there are exceptions, but I just start here though, you know? And I was like, there is wild yeast. Like, don't like forget about that. But we're gonna talk about that like later. We're just gonna talk about ales and lagers. So everything's an ale and lager. But sometimes this ale's treated like a lager, and sometimes this lager is gonna be treated like an ale, but everything's an ale. If that, because you like you and Jen tell we say this all the time. You have to teach them one plus one before you can teach them one square, right? So it's just, but I hear you because, oh man, as educators and or as people that know a lot, you want to be like, you know, yeah, you get that, right? Blah, blah, blah. And they're like, no, I have no idea what lager is. You're like, fuck, yes. Really good point.
And we've Rachel just had that recently with talking with somebody where she, you know, told the woman the four ingredients of beer, and the woman was like, oh, I love having this insider information. And it's like, oh, that's right, because you know, like all the time, like we're all in this very small bubble that can feel very large, and you forget that it's like, no, this is like a niche of a niche of a niche that we're doing, and like the general public doesn't know.
Insider.
And I like I did an in-person just a
Like
beer
all the insider.
101, and like people coming in, you know, I had it set up with like the malt and the hops, and people were just like, what
What
is
is
this? Like,
this?
what are we doing here? And I'm like, okay, like, don't eat the hops.
Yeah,
No,
don't eat them right. Don't, malt might break your teeth. You have to, depending on what it is, what type, all of that.
But yeah, it's like you forget that, like the general public and most people just don't have that, even, you know, like the four ingredients. And this, it's the same thing, you know, when you get like niche into anything where it's like, you know,
And
there's
more
micro
importantly,
celebrities for like dollhouse furniture or
yeah,
something, you know.
they want to know too. Like the
They do.
general consumer wants to know. They might not even realize how much they want to know, but like when they sit down the bar, they, oh my God, the questions roll. And
Yes, they do.
I hear people say sometimes, like I have a, it's not like a bone to pick, but it's something that crosses my mind sometimes. Like
It's a mash to stick.
it's a, it's like, all right, so on testing situations, sometimes you're asked to like write a consumer description versus a technical
Technical,
description
yeah,
for a
description.
brewer. But like sometimes when I am writing a description for my beer, like in general, like for the brewery, I find myself saying words that are a little technical, but I leave it anyways because it's important to like get people used to these words on can labels, you know? Although, you know, the test is asking something different. That's totally different. You don't have to like, that's a testing situation. But I just find myself thinking about that question when I'm writing these down sometimes, because I'll be like, you know, ferment it with blood orange pure. I'm not getting crazy. Like I'm, you know, ferment it with blood orange or conditioned or dry hopped even, you know, and people can easily, I mean, not everyone knows what dry hop. Most people don't know what dry hop is, but I don't know. I like it. I like being the brewery that throws in these little different words that you have to, because at the end of the day, like I'm also not having to sell, well, at least yet, I'm also not having to sell a crap ton of beer to anyone. But at that same time, when I get to that point, are those people reading whatever you wrote on the can anyways?
I mean, I feel the exact same way. So, as I have moved through Beer Fact Fridays, which I think is really oddly the thing that people know me the most for, but I never ever thought that that would be what people would know me the most for. I'm definitely happy about it, right? And Jen was actually a part of the origin, like days of Beer Fact Fridays. We were sitting down, as I was studying for level two of Cicerone, and I said to Jen, I'm thinking about doing something like every week to make myself be consistent and to make myself have some type of social media presence, because in my like non-beer life, I post like once a year on my social. So, I'm not really doing a lot on my social media, and as it has evolved over time, to your point, Rachel, like I have tackled topics that some people are like, what? You talked about decoction mashing? I'm like, absolutely, I talked about it
Yeah, why
because
not?
it's an important element of what is bringing flavor to beer. It's like a historical reference. And yeah, you're on this journey, right? In the Beer Fact Friday annals, right? But also, you're trying to grow as somebody who drinks craft beer, period. You should be exposed to this stuff, right? And you can break it down. We don't have to go into hours and hours of talking about some particular technique, but yeah, let's throw out the vocabulary that people are like, wait a second. You know, they might pause on it, for a
And
second.
it's
And
probably something they've heard before and want more
yes,
explanation about and just don't
exactly. Yeah.
really know how to ask up for it.
Exactly. Right. So I'm pro that, 100% pro that. You know, it's like you have to, I feel like you have to stretch your audience, right? Whether it's like you serving, a beer at your brewery, to anything that Jen is saying in her face-to-face, interaction with folks, to anybody that I'm training or anybody that I'm working with, anything I'm putting out, I'm like, let's go. Like, let's talk about this, because if you don't, then you just have the same, things, to your point, circulating around that, never are like pushing. And people are going to consume what they want anyway, to your point, Rachel. Like,
Yeah,
either they're going
exactly.
to read what's on the can or they're not,
Yeah.
or they're going to ask the questions or see what's on the
Or
menu or they're not.
they see whatever they want to see.
Exactly.
One time we
Yep.
had a beer on the board called Island Hopper Chinook. Chinook was the type of
Uh-huh.
hop that it's our hop IPA. Someone comes up and asks for the Chinese hooker beer. This is what he
Right.
read in his
Chinese
mind.
hooker.
It says
Yeah.
Island Hopper Chinook, and he
And he
asked
says,
for the Chinese hooker
there
beer.
you go.
What? Like one, highly inappropriate already, but two,
Right.
how do you get that
From.
word so messed up in your head?
Right.
Like, take a
Yeah.
second.
Right.
Why would you name it Chinese hooker, anyways? Like,
Right. Right.
this
Yeah.
show my travels is Pilot Brewing.
Right.
Oh,
Right. Exactly. Right.
And I think, Latrice, also what you do really well, I think what Rachel and I do well is we don't underestimate our audience, but we also just, start with beer has four ingredients. Today we're talking about this
We
one.
try to.
And yeah, exactly. We try to. But yeah, like it's just, you just create a space where it's okay to, to not know and to learn. And along those same lines, too, with things like social media, with podcasts, like you give somebody kind of a safe space because
Yes.
they're by themselves, but they're not. They've got you there. And it is a place where somebody can be like, I don't know what decoction mashing is.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
so then they can see yours and be like, okay, great. Somebody explained it to me in, like a basic way, and now I understand it better. The other thing, when we're talking about like the same information being out there is, yes, there is a lot of, the same information out there, and a lot of people just kind of repeat each other, but it's different when it's coming from different people, and it's different when it's coming from, someone who you identify with, who you have, the same or similar lived experiences as. And I know for myself, there are some things that I can read over and over, and I'm like, yeah, like nitrogenated beer. But then I can see somebody else explain it or read a different book, and it's just explained in a different way
Oh
that I'm like,
yeah.
oh, like now this information
Yeah,
makes more
'cause it
sense. Like,
makes
people
sense.
are better
Yeah.
educators than others, and
Right.
people like I like to learn story form. I always say if someone taught
Yeah.
me history in high school as the in the way of beer, I would know so much history. Like, like I always say, you know what I say? I didn't know I needed that at the time, but
Right. But yeah, it's like, it's easy to think that like the pool is saturated, but if you look
oh
around and
man.
you don't see yourself represented, then it's not
It's
saturated
that
for
part.
you, and it's not
Yep.
saturated for other people who want, who don't want to just learn the same information from the same books or the same people all the
Oh,
time.
exactly. There have been times where I have skipped presentations or something because of the speaker, and I
Yes.
just didn't need another white man talking at me.
Yes.
Or didn't it, not even necessarily a white man. It was just, there's been people who just didn't feel like were credible enough for whatever the topic were.
Right.
And that's a big difference. I'm not going to show up if, and even with people that look like you and me, they're much rather go listen to you talk than someone who doesn't look like them at all, because they're going to be more comfortable. It's going to feel more inviting. It's just going to feel like more it palatable and believable almost, because you have this, you're sharing the same experiences. It's one of the problems that drives me nuts with some of these groups, BJCP, with sorry, I had a little
I'm
giggle
having
there.
nightmares already. I just took the exam, so I'm
Yes,
already like,
Latrice took her tasting exam with me
I
on
took my
Saturday.
tasting exam
I'm
on
like, it's a,
Saturday. Yeah.
I'm like, they just don't understand that you just can't have the same pool of the same people all the time making the same decisions, because that's not gonna, nothing's ever gonna change or grow or become better. But
Right.
everyone.
And I think it's, you know, it is easy and like not to just like shit on people who are, you know, kind of the core of the industry. I'm really not. Some of them I will, but I'm really not. But when like you've always been the default, it's really hard to imagine or empathize what it's like to not be the default. And that's also why, you know, like we're always encouraging people. It's like, hey, whatever you're interested in and you want to talk about it, start talking about it, because
Yes.
there are people who
Yes.
are immediately going to feel safe learning from
Yes.
you or asking you questions where they may not in, you know, in other audiences.
And yep, that's exactly the thing I think about most when I'm doing this. It's like when I started it out, I was like, I don't even know if people want to know this, right? Like I, you know, to your, you know, both of you all's points, like I was like, it's already saturated. You know, I really don't know how many people are going to be listening to me specifically. You know, you go through this whole thing in your mind like, am I qualified enough to be talking about this? Am I, you know, do I know it well? Like, you know, and all, and I'm one of those people who really, really feels like I have to internalize things a bit before I can talk about them. I talk about like all of my Beer Fact Fridays, fun fact. I never am reading. So that's one thing that like people ask me all the time, like, do you have a script? Nope. There is no script. There is no, I'm not reading anything. Because if I can't talk about it without a script, then I don't really feel like I should be talking about it
Yeah, I
on Beer
get
Fact
that.
Friday. That's just my own personal opinion. Now that's no like dig to people, you know, you gotta get the information out the way you get it out. But for me personally, I have to internalize it because I feel like if I can't talk about it offhand, then I probably shouldn't be talking about it yet. But you know, you do have to come to a place where you're just kind of like, just do it. You know, shout out to Jen's most recent newsletter. Like do it, you know, messy and like do it where you're just gonna kind of like start to throw it out there and dabble, probably when you're more uncomfortable. I mean, you know, like I look at, you know, like the first like 5 to 10 episodes of Beer Fact Friday, and I'm like, oh, bless you, child, bless you.
I feel like
You were
if we
born
went
with it.
back, yeah, if we
Yeah,
listened
like
to like
you
our first like 10 podcast episodes, we
were.
would just be like, oh my
Yes.
God.
Oh my God. Like I'm like, oh my God. And I didn't quite, you know, understand the concept of like editing and like how things needed to be
Oh,
and you
yeah.
know, kind of make things flow. And I was like, but I'm like, you know what? But you were out there, girl. You were trying, you were putting it out there, you were attacking topics that you felt like
It,
were things that people asked you
I
know?
really don't think it's saturated. I really don't.
I
Like,
don't.
there's so much new information always being
Yes.
experimented with and tested, and that you need to learn about. There's a new generation of always new generations of brewers coming
Yes.
up that need this education, and people that, you know, like that have written all these original texts, you know, they're, lack of a better word, kind of aging out. Like we need new, fresh
Yeah,
voices all the
blood.
time. Like even when all three of us are old and aging out, there needs to be people that, you know, new ones of us to keep this shit going, because if not, then what is it? And you know, it's gonna change. It's all gonna change. It's changing right now. It's been changing. There's a big push to THC options, non-alcoholic and alcohol-free, healthier options, seltzer, and you know, how are you gonna survive as a brewery or beer educator also? Because you know, full on pilot is been struggling for a long time. We've got some new plans to kind of just make more beer. And not necessarily grow as equipment wise, but we're trying to figure out anything we can do instead of just slowly sit here and die like some of the other breweries have around us recently. But thank you for your draft lines, guys, who have
Shout
I don't think it's too soon. I just bought a bunch of Midnight Mulligan kegs the other day. It's pretty exciting. I mean, don't get me wrong, not my favorite brewery, but it did
Right.
was my favorite
But they
price.
made it.
Yeah. I was about to say, did you only buy the hottest kegs?
Yes.
There
So,
you
and I
go.
wish I would have said the hottest ones. I would only like the hottest ones, please.
Yes.
I think it's funny that, you mentioned like Beer Fact Fridays and that being the thing that people know you at or know you the most for, and how
Yeah.
that wasn't your plan. And that is something that resonates with me because of like my last newsletter where, it was like start ugly and like don't worry if you don't know what the final idea is, because the final idea isn't going to look like what you thought it was. And I know, Rachel, you can speak to this too from like the time that you opened your brewery until now. I have to imagine it's kind of like parents
Wish I
where,
knew.
parents are like,
Yeah.
oh, my kids are only going to have wooden toys and blah, blah,
Oh,
blah. And then
yeah.
you actually have a kid and you're like,
Right.
eat dirt. I don't
Yeah,
care. It's
exactly.
fine.
I
You'll be
don't care. It's only
fine.
going to be, yes.
Yeah. So like
Very much like that.
things change. And
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's interesting with, with you, of most people knowing, or I shouldn't say most people, but you do have a very strong social media presence. And with the Beer Fact Fridays, that is something that a lot of people, like plan on and, and kind of look forward to. And they know, and I know I've said this to you before about how like admirable I am that you have consistently done this for what, like a year and a half now,
A
like
year and a
every
half.
single
Yeah, a
Friday.
year and a half. I'm like
That
on
is
episode,
amazing.
yeah, episode 80, 80. I just did episode 81, and I'm like, I am literally coming up on 100, and this is insanity right now.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm like, like you said, it is a consistency thing, and I've had different moments. I mean, believe you me, where I've been like,
I
I
get
don't
that.
feel like it. I mean, it's Thursday night, and I mean, behind the curtain, right, of Beer Fact Friday, I've had so many people ask me, like, oh, do you record ahead of time? How many do you do at a time? Like actual people who do social media, like they're recording a whole
Yeah.
bunch of stuff ahead of time, and I'm like, okay. One thing about me is that, like, I. Again, I'm very much, it's about a mood, right? I feel like if I am not excited or I don't feel like talking about something, it comes across on camera, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I will have a plan. Like, there have been multiple times where I've been like, got it, gonna talk about this week. It starts getting closer in the week, and I'm like, I don't know. Not feeling it, don't wanna talk about it, just don't, or I'll be like, this is boring. Like, I've been having that moment where I'm like, this sucks. I don't want to, or maybe not us, but like it's boring. Like I don't want to talk about this right now. This is not I'm not in the mood to talk about this particular thing. Maybe I need to pitch it a different way. And so there's a lot of, I recorded this on Thursday afternoon. I recorded this on Thursday night. There's a whole lot of those in the series of
Oh,
Black Friday, I will say. But like I said, it comes from like this passion point. And though I didn't think that Beer Fact Friday would be like what, because I was, I come from like an academic background. Jen, you and I have talked about this a lot, like this type A, very academic background. My 9 to 5 is extreme, very science-based, high level things, won't disclose it right now. But those of you who know me know what I do for a living, but it comes in this very intense environment. And so I wanted to be like, I was like, oh, I need to be serious. And Beer Fact Fridays will just be like a thing that I do. It'll just be like a thing, but I want people to know me as this, like, I'm this educator who goes to, and I'm like, at the end of the day, you have to be able to touch people. You have to be able to meet people where they are. And so I have actually kind of embraced where before I was like, thank you. Beer Fact Fridays is great, but I do all these other things. Now I'm like, okay, that's fine. Let's pull you in. Let's pull you in through Beer Fact Fridays.
Right.
And I'll tell you about all the other things I do, right? It's an
Oh, yeah.
engagement, where I have, breweries reach out to me and they're like, oh my God, we love your Beer Fact Friday. I'm like, do you need my help? Or they're like, oh my God, I share your videos with all my staff. I'm like, do you need my help? And
Yeah.
we're back to that, right? And so now I kind of look at it as a badge, and it's been interesting to watch like more people pop up. Like when I started doing Beer Fact Fridays, it wasn't a whole lot of people doing what I'm doing. And then to see other folks kind of pop up doing like a little bit more consistent beer education, you know, I'm like, okay, like people are watching, you know, people are being at least like inspired by some of the things that I'm doing, right? And you know, like I said, I have been, I think, a little bit thinking a little bit more deliberately about how I talk about beer education. I am actually getting ready to revive, and this will be a little plug because you know both of you all are going to have to be on this, but I have started another series called Craft Ed, where I'm going to be talking to different people in the industry specifically about beer education, right? Like spotlighting that. It'll be separate from Beer Fact Friday. It won't be probably as often, maybe like twice a month or something like that, you know, maybe once a month, I don't know. But you know, people from all different spaces in the industry, not just breweries, right? Because I think that's one part, but you know, starting to think about like, all right, what are the ways that I can make sure I'm spotlighting exactly, you know, what I do and beer education in addition to Beer Fact Fridays, you know, and doing that and trying to just, you know, it's like spread the word, right? Like I just, we always say beer education is not sexy. It's not. We could be doing a lot sexier things, guys. We really could.
Oh,
You know,
well, it's a
like,
struggle because you got to find someone to pay you to do it, really, because you can't just like drop a bunch of resources. I mean, things cost money, you know,
Because they
like
sure do. They
spikes
do.
and beer samples and you know, get nice to look at some malt. It's nice to look at some hops.
Yeah,
It
but
is rough. It's a luxury, unfortunately, for businesses.
unfortunately, I know. Yeah, it
It's
is.
rough. And like, I obviously love beer education. I wish I could do it more for my people at the brewery than I do.
And you
A
do a
lot of things
lot.
fall. A lot of things fall through the
You
cracks
do a
too.
lot.
Like, you
Yeah.
know, they're the things that we don't like. I realized the other day that some of my team members didn't realize that German Weissbier and Hefeweizen were the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
And they were asking why we have different names. And I'm like, well, we have the set of guidelines, right? We have the Brewers Association, we have the BJCP. They're calling it this. The breweries in Germany are calling
Germany
it
or behind. Yeah,
one way
yeah.
or another. So it's like, you know, Weiss means white, beer means beer, Hefe means yeast, you know, just trying to explain that the, but if you don't know, and I remember there must have been a time I didn't know that, and there must have been a time where I made that connection. And there's other styles like that too, but it's just like that small because we have a group of people who have categorized things for the effort of, you know, judging doesn't mean other countries are going by that necessarily. And it's hard to know the difference sometimes when you're getting into it, you
Yeah,
know,
and
so
that when you like when you told me that, Rachel, about like the Hefeweizen and the Weissbier not realizing it was the same thing, I was like, yeah, like that's another one of those things that that's a that logically makes sense. That it's kind of like Scotch ale and wee heavy, you know, it's like it doesn't immediately click in your
it
mind
doesn't
that
mean it
that's the
click.
same thing.
No,
And it's just a translation thing, really, when it comes
it's
down
so
to it.
funny that you say that because I had like the biggest epiphany of my life. I was sitting there as I had been like studying for going back, looking at all the BJCP styles, and I'm like, wait, a Scotch ale and a wee heavy. Like, I know I learned that these were the same things, but they're not in BJCP. Like, they're not in, they're not. There's references to them in BJCP as being like a wee heavy, you know, in the Scotch, you know, when you look at the Scotch ales or the Scottish, what is it, the
Well, you
Scottish
have the Scottish light, the heavy, and the
and
export.
the
And then you
export.
have the wee heavy.
Yes, exactly. Right. And I'm sitting there like, you know, it's that moment where you're like, wait a second, have all my studies been wrong?
Yeah, my
My whole life is, I
whole
mean, you're
life
like, what? Santa is not real. Oh my God,
has
mommy. So I'm like,
been a lie.
I was just sitting there like, but you know, but it's to your point, like that stuff like that, people are not gonna know. Your staff's
It's
not gonna know.
unless you teach it to them or so they learn it somewhere, because
Exactly.
I mean that's the true truth with most things. It's just like it's hard to it's such like beer is its own language,
It is.
you know, and you have to want it's hard to develop the category vocabulary and apply it, you know. I've been doing this for 20 freaking years, I realized the other day.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, that is a freaking
Started at the craft beer bar as a server at age 18
wow.
Yeah. And next week I will be 20, 38. I'll be 38. I realized that the other day. I was like, I've been in craft beer for 20 fucking years.
That's
Yeah.
insane.
That feels old.
Who
Your
don't
craft
know?
beer career can almost legally drink. That's wild.
Look at
My craft
that.
beer, yeah. My
Yeah.
craft beer career is older than when I started it.
Yes.
Than I was.
Oh, older than you know when you started. That's crazy.
Wow.
That's insane.
Yeah. Makes
Yeah.
me feel old. But I'm still putting shit together sometimes. You know,
Yeah.
the more you learn, the more you realize that you have more to learn.
And
You know?
that's it.
I
That
even
is
think
the
about whatever, I'll pass this test. I still won't know anything.
well, well, I mean, but I think that's the thing I've been telling myself recently. You know, aside from like the gentle nudgings of people around me, like keep going, keep going. Are you gonna do your advance, Cicerone? And I'm like, yeah,
Yes.
I'm going to do it. Jen's
Yes,
like,
she
I'm gonna
is.
answer it for you and say, but yes, the answer is yes. But the thing is with that though, is I'm kind of like, you have to keep taking something to challenge yourself to
Yeah.
continue to grow. Because if you don't, I mean, I can't be a craft beer educator if I'm not doing
Oh
something
yeah,
to keep
especially
on growing my
that.
skills, right? Exactly. Like
Yeah.
you can't, that is counterintuitive for what I do, right? And so it has to be something, whether, you know, it's like now, and it's funny because like now I'm running out of excuses as to why I'm, you know, for my advance. I was like, oh, I'm focusing on BJCP right now. Well, now that's done. So now I have to come back to the advances were unfolding. And I had a conversation with Neil Callahan, you know, famed Neil Callahan from the famed Rick Store Pub in Decatur, Georgia. Everybody loves Neil. You know, when you say Neil's name, people are like, oh my God, Neil is amazing.
Yeah,
And if he's
everyone's like,
listening,
I love Neil.
I love Neil. I mean, you know, he's one of those people, the most helpful people, you know, helpful individual ever. But I was at, I saw him over the weekend and we were talking and he was like, yeah, so, you know, are you getting ready for that tasting exam in November? I was like, Neil, I don't know. I was like, you know, I just haven't had time. Like, I don't know if I'm gonna do it. Like, he's like, Latrice, like, why? He's like, you, it's not, he basically starts hyping me up again, right? He's telling me all these reasons why I need to just do it. He's
Yeah.
like, you know, he's like, yes, I know you're like, oh my God, it's only 3 months away. But he was like, you can buckle it down and do it. He's like, and do it so it, he's like, for the at least you get the exposure of what it is,
Yep.
right? And you know, again, I'm in my highly academic mind, which is like, I gotta go get an A on this test.
Yeah.
I gotta go get an A on
Oh,
this test.
God.
You know, like, I mean, that's just my, it is the thing I have to talk myself down from.
Yep. I feel that hard.
You
I feel
know,
that.
yeah. And you have to understand, like, some of this is part of the process. You will be better off if you do this, right? You know, you put yourself within a time frame, because sometimes that's better for me too. If it's obscure, like, oh, you have a year, it's like, who the hell, you know? Okay, if I have 3 months, it's like, okay, you know,
Right.
you have a finite amount of time, you know how to like parse that time out. But you know, it's again one of those things where educators are, you know, we all feel like, oh God, do I know this? Am I gonna know this? Like you said, after I take this test, am I gonna know this? What if I fail this test? Like, who cares? You know, really at the end of the day, it's about how much are you learning? How much
Right.
are you internalizing? And that's what I tell everybody who is at who's ever asked me, and what people told me when I was, you know, trying to do Cicerone and you know, level two. And as I move forward, you have to think about how you what you want to get out of this, right? Are you trying to pass a test or are you trying to learn information? That is the key, you know? And if I'm trying to learn information, then yeah, Jen, I guess I'll see you in November. I mean, really, it really does come to that. Like, I'm like, oh, this is, I just haven't been
You
doing what
could
I
do
do.
it.
I see.
It might take you a couple times, but that's okay, you
Yeah, and
know?
that's fine. And that's why I'm like, you know what? I'm okay. I'm okay with
I
taking a
went
couple
into my
times.
first master test knowing I was not going to pass, giving myself the permission to not pass. And my goal was 70. I got 70. But I did it, and it was very helpful to do it to get
Yes.
the experience of it, because damn,
That's
it's
what I
a
feel.
long 2 days.
Yeah,
But
that's what I feel. I'm like, I need the experience of it. Like, I took my, my people are like always like, and it's very interesting that whole like concept that people don't want to tell you necessarily like how many times it took them to do something. Again, that is
most
just
people on
culture.
this journey take these tests multiple times. I took every
Exactly.
single level besides the first level multiple times.
Yep, so did
I
I.
mean, and me too. And I'm like, I took, and taking the written, I mean, the only thing I passed the first time was my tasting exam for the Cicerone. But
Yeah,
like
that's great.
taking the written twice, the second time, when I tell you I knew that information, like I knew it. The
Yep,
first time it was
yes.
like, okay, yep, let's just, we got to just pass the test, right?
Yeah.
And the second time it was like, oh my God, the level of internalization I've done here is way better. So I'm hoping that that's what the journey is for the third iteration. But to your point, like it's about constant learning. That is for me the biggest key to all of this. And it's not about all the rest of the stuff. It's just trying to create a space where people feel like they are constantly learning. You're never just going to get it right and stop. That's not what
Yeah.
the type of space
It's
we
like
are in.
working out.
Exactly, right? You can't
You
just
can't just do
stop.
it once. Yeah,
Yeah,
right.
that's a really good point, and as somebody who works out pretty dutifully and has had to watch the changes of working out 10 years ago versus working out now. There's adaptations you have to make, you
Yeah.
have to, I think all of that has to be taken into account when you're talking about beer. And like you said, just different trends, different things you need to learn, different ways of, you're learning how people experiment to your point. All these things I think are part of the education journey
For
for
sure. I
sure.
know, like, the first time, between the first time I took the advanced and the time that I passed the advanced, looking back on the first time I took it, which I took it when it was still like fairly new, but I didn't know anything when I went in to take that exam. And by the time I passed, I felt like you said, like I had internalized. I actually understood the information. I understood more what the questions were asking. And I hadn't just gone through and like read books and memorized things. Like I just really got it. And so by the time I passed, I was like, yes, like if I would have passed the first time I took it, it would have been a fluke and I wouldn't have learned nearly as much as I did when I had to take it again and I had to like lick my wounds and see like where I needed to improve and I'm focusing on those things. And then like when I did pass, it was just a much more like comfortable, calm experience because I went in so much more confident because I was like, yeah, I just know this information now.
Exactly. 100%.
And the test is really, at least the advanced and the master test are really designed to ask you questions in a way to make sure you really do
No way.
know the information. It's not like you can't just memorize. Like you could have one of those minds that's just like memorizes everything, right? And you can memorize all the BJC stats in your head from word to word, but if you don't really understand certain things, it's not going to matter, So, and
Totally.
that's why it's a hard test, and one of the reasons why. And but I also think it's a very someone who's been in this program since fucking 2012. I program.
Oh, goodness.
So yeah, Latrice, to just to wrap up, why don't you tell us a little bit about kind of what's next for the Beery Godmother?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a couple of like exciting things I think that are coming up next for me. I have been trying to delve into some spaces that I have never done things in before, and I think it just goes with my changing interests, right? In things. One of the things I'm the most excited about, I think, is that I have coming up here in a couple of weeks, on August the 24th, I am doing my first kind of collaborative small beer festival
Oh,
with a brewery.
nice.
And it was something that was brought to me, as an idea. I never ever thought I would do anything like this because I was like, well, I mean, unless a brewery is going to come, kind of at it from a very educational lens, then I don't really see where my real collaboration piece is. I mean, yeah, sure, I can be there, and support it,
Sure.
but what my interaction is going to be, I don't know. So I was approached, kind of, been building this relationship and partnership with a small artisanal brewery, yet I don't know how long they're going to be as unknown as they are. They're called Lesser Known Brewing in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and they're making some of the most fantastic beer, period. I think in the country. And so, but they are very, very, very focused on beer education. It is a part of everything that they do. Their tap room is very, to me, it has touches of beer education everywhere, from the way that they serve to the fact that they have like a little, it's like a little like flower vase, and sitting next to that flower vase on their counter, it says lines cleaned on XYZ day in calligraphy. Right? Little stuff that's just like, it's right in your face, like, we just did this. But this is going to be an opportunity for attendees to this festival to actually have like a beer education round robin with myself, the brewer, and the kind of front of house manager of Lesser Known, and be able to hear about beer history, styles, brewing techniques, things of this nature, serving beer. But also be able to, get a little sneak peek of the beer they're going to be drinking during the day. And so we're partnering with five, kind of known lager breweries, around the country, but specifically that don't, you can't ordinarily get in North Carolina. And so that is something I think is super exciting, because to me it starts to set the precedent of what might be possible in the future when, I'm approached by different, beer festivals, and I'm invited to different things, and people are like, "Oh, we want to put you on a panel." And I'm like, "That's cool, but like, what else? What else can we possibly do here, right?" So I'm looking forward to that. That should be really, really fun. I am starting to get my first couple of what I would call like restaurant and bar clients, which is an interesting
Nice.
space.
That's awesome.
That I've been wanting to like dip into. It's an entirely different like mindset than working with just breweries, because those folks who are in bars and restaurants have to know how to not only serve beer, but wine and cocktails. And so, kind of working in a scenario where a couple of places want to elevate their staff's knowledge of beer in the same way that they're doing with cocktails and wine. So that part is kind of cool. I will be having a beer that I made for this lesser known beer festival. I get, this is like the exclusive drop. You guys get a little preview of the day. It's fine to talk about it. We just haven't like announced it anywhere else, but I'm totally fine talking about it here. It'll be at Brickstore Pub,
Awesome. Oh my.
which will be amazing to be able to have a beer that I,
Yeah.
made, contributed to the recipe, generation, at Brickstore. And I don't really do a whole lot of people, I get asked all the time to do beers. It's not necessarily something for me, unless, again, there's an opportunity to teach in that space, right? And so I'm excited because I'll get a chance to like talk about this beer and to teach people something about it. And I think just trying to continue to think about like how I can expand what I do, both, what I'll say behind the scenes, in terms of training and all that, but also for the public too.
Oh, well, we're also having you out for Beer Week,
That's right. I was
Charlotte
gonna
Craft Beer
say,
Week.
yes, I'll
Yeah.
be out there for Charlotte Beer Week. Trying to
I don't,
think.
we're still in the planning. We don't really know what we're
Sure.
doing yet, but
No, we're doing it yet.
we're
But
doing
we're
a
doing
beer
something.
education
Yes.
at Monday Night Brewing
Yes.
like you did
At
last
Monday
year,
Night
but
Brewery. Yes.
awesome. But
Yes.
her and Lauren at Monday Night are figuring out, so I don't have to
Yes, we're
know.
figuring that out. Yes, I did see Lauren this weekend, and she was like, "We need to talk this week, like to figure out like what exactly we want to do." But that will be happening.
And we also have, I don't think I got a chance to tell you this, Latrice, but we're gonna, and I don't, this isn't public yet either, but Jen and
Yes.
I are planning a Cicerone meet and greet for that same week at Pilot. So that's why I was like, Lauren, don't do it on Wednesday, because the Wednesday will be the Cicerone meet and
The
greet.
Cicero meet and greet.
So make
Nice.
sure that's
Okay.
on your
Yeah.
calendar, because I
I'll
know
put
you'd
that on
like
my
to be there.
calendar. Awesome. Because I will probably be having to leave Thursday morning. So that's
Okay, great.
perfect.
Good, 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 good.
That I will be, yeah, that's perfect. That's
Awesome.
awesome. So yeah, doing all that. And I mean, I think just continuing to try to do the things that I feel like are needed, looking into the gaps of where we need to be doing more beer education. I mean, maybe a couple more, encouraging, continuing to do craft ed, building that a little bit more, but then, doing some beer fact Fridays with some more guest appearances. And the reason why I do those is because I feel like that, I need to tag team sometimes with somebody who knows it way better than I do to be able to really fully get like an immersive experience on something,
Right.
right? So, I'm coming for both of y'all. You already know, Jen, you've already done
I
Rachel,
actually, it's kind of getting me
you're
thinking about some good
Yes.
ideas for Beer Week
Yes.
as we grow. Like
Yes.
this year might be a little chill, but like
Yeah.
now that the Charlotte Tourism Group has helped taking more of it on,
Yes.
they're looking for ways to bring more breweries in, and maybe we can do this like series of events during Beer Week next year where you host different ticketed events so we can make you some money.
100%.
Because it's
Yeah.
got that's important too.
That's important. That is
That's it,
very
that's
important.
I think that's one of the best things to remind people before we leave is that don't work for free. It's one thing to like do what you need to do to like, being on a panel, making these
Yep. Connections.
TikToks or these
Yeah.
videos, they
Yes.
that's connections are important, but
Yes.
working for free
But
is different.
yeah.
Unless
100%.
they're a nonprofit that you feel really good about, I set your boundaries
Yeah,
because
that's
no one needs
boundaries.
to be working for free. We're not there. We maybe used to be there a long time ago, but that's not the way it is anymore. And don't let any of these other old brewers tell you they used to do it. I had to talk one guy out of it, and I was like, just because you got hurt doesn't mean other brewers should be hurt.
Yes.
Come on, man.
Hurt people hurt people.
Hurt people, hurt people. Exactly. Exactly.
Gotta take
Yeah.
care of these people.
Right. So,
Right.
Latrice, where can people give us like your socials, your website, everything where people can
Yes.
find you?
Yes. So people can currently find me at the Beery Godmother on Instagram. I do have a TikTok that I'm actually considering. I've had it for a while and I never have used it. I'm actually considering adding some things to that, but it'll be at the Beery Godmother on TikTok as well. And then my website is just the Beery God, well, it's just beerygodmother.com. So it's no the in front of it, where it's, you can take a look at all the different things that I'm offering as far as training is concerned. I'm going to be doing some revamping to that website over time, but it's up now for anybody who wants to see it. And yeah, that's usually where I can be found.
All right,
Awesome.
awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you everyone for listening. As always, you can find us on social media at False Bottom Girls on Instagram and Facebook. You can email us, falsebottomgirls@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, falsebottomgirls.com. So thank you, Latrice. Thank you,
Thank
Rachel.
you.
Yes, thank you.
This has been False Bottom Girls,
and we make the brewing world go round.